Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
True to my word, it was a long gospel, wasn't it? With two stories, a lot happening in that gospel, and as much as I'd like to talk about all of it, I need to just pick one thing. And so the one line that kind of jumps out at me in that gospel, she fell down before Jesus and she told him the whole truth. Did you get that? Did you hear that? She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. Now, this woman's circumstances were that she had been hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years. And this bleeding that she had made her ritually unclean. She was defiled. She would not be allowed to be in a big crowd of people. Because if she was in a big crowd of people, she would touch them. And if she touched them, they would be unclean. But she heard about Jesus, and she thought, if only I touch his clothes, I won't touch him. I'm not worthy to touch him. If only I could touch his clothes. And so she goes in, and she touches his clothes, and Jesus feels the power from her faith flow out of him. He turns around and he looks for her. And what does it say? She fell at his feet and did what? Told him the whole truth. By faith, she touched him. Do you have faith? You know, really, only you and God know. And really, I think, on some level, only God really knows. Do you have faith? You know, we're surrounded by miracles. You get up in the morning and you see the sun rise. It's a miracle. You see a baby born. You see the earth and the moon and the stars. You see all of the reality of God's creation. They didn't create themselves. They're all brought into being and sustained by God. And so we see this woman exercise her faith in Christ, and his healing power flows into him. Into her, I should say. Do you promise to tell the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth? Have you ever heard that line? It's a line, that's how they swear people into court. That whole sense of the whole truth comes up again. And I'm not talking about lying. I'm just talking about not telling the whole truth. And there's a real challenge to telling the whole truth, because to tell the whole truth, we have to know the whole truth. And to know the whole truth about ourselves takes sometimes getting through the layers of lies that can cloud our vision. I remember one time when I was a deacon, preparing to be ordained a priest, and I was assigned to a parish just like Thomas is now. And there was a lot of, they had a big St. Vincent de Paul ministry there. And so they had a lot of indigent people that would come and go. And so one morning I was going over to volunteer, as my assignment was at the St. Vincent de Paul. And as I was walking over there, coming from another direction, was a man carrying a very large container of beer, okay, at 10 o'clock in the morning. And he's kind of staggering his way, okay? And then I see him very gingerly take his beer and put it in the shrubberies and kind of push some leaves up. So I said, sir, have you been drinking? No. I said, is that your beer in the shrubberies over there? No. And it's funny a little bit, but it's heartbreaking, because I'm standing there And I'm thinking, I wonder if this man can even tell the truth. I wonder if he's even capable of telling the truth. She fell at the feet of Jesus and told the whole truth. When was the last time you fell at the feet of Jesus and told the whole truth? It is a practice of our Catholic faith. This is a regular part of an active Catholic life, is that we are supposed to stop and take a few minutes and examine our lives, the good and the bad and the ugly. We're supposed to stop and look over our lives and see what we've done and where we've been. And we bring those things before Almighty God, and we thank Him for the graces that He's given us, and we ask Him for mercy where we have fallen. And we look at our lives, and from time to time, we're supposed to take that examination of our life and bring it to sacramental confession, right? That's supposed to be a part of our Catholic journey, a regular part, so that we can tell the whole truth. You know, and it is my privilege to hear confessions, as I mentioned, from time to time. And sometimes I'll be in the confessional, and people will come in, and as they confess their sins, I'll think to myself, ooh, I'm guilty of that one too. But that one was covered up. I wasn't even aware of that. I hadn't even thought about that. Or I hadn't thought about it in a long time. And so I have the privilege of having my conscience examined for me, in a sense, that I can more easily perhaps get to the whole truth. And I may hear something like, I neglect my spiritual needs in time of prayer, silence, and reflection. I have talents, but I don't use them for God. I'm afraid that I might fail, or I'm afraid of what God might ask of me next. I strive for good enough and not for excellence, especially in my spiritual life. When you get right down to it, I have more than I need. And still, I'm not very generous. In fact, I'm not really generous at all. I hold back on giving myself and my life to God. And when I do, sometimes it's just words. I take God's mercy for granted. You know, most of those things that I've just mentioned are sins of omission. They're things that we haven't done. But when we live a life in Christ, God is calling us to truly be lights, to be lights in the world around us, to be agents of change and men and women of virtue that bring the healing power of God to the world around us. A few years ago, maybe 100 years ago or so, they had an essay contest in England. And the essay contest in England had this question. This was the question that the essay was supposed to address. What is wrong with the world? So they asked these political scientists and authors and professors and other people to submit their essays to the newspaper, and they would pick the best ones and publish them. What is wrong with the world? And a man named G.K. Chesterton, who was a famous author at that time, took up the challenge. He took up the challenge to write an essay, What is Wrong with the World? And he produced a powerful, beautiful, influential essay that got to the heart of the matter. It was two words. What is wrong with the world? And his essay said, I am. I am. Now, I'm not trying to beat you all down, okay? I promise you. I promise you I'm not, but what I'm trying to do is help you see what incredible potential we all have and how often it's left untapped or buried under kind of halfway living our Christian life or even sometimes outright blindness. I remember in the seminary, again, going back those years, learning to examine my conscience in life. And being taught it is sometimes the painful process of self-knowledge. The painful process. And I remember very clearly having a conversation with a good friend of mine in seminary named Joseph. And we were discussing this whole question of kind of coming to a new understanding of ourselves and of God and grace and our where we were going and that God has made us in his image and likeness. And he said to me, I remember he looked at me, looking back on his life, and he said, oh, thank God I didn't die back then. Thank God I didn't die back then. As the light of God had brought him to this place. You know, another very famous and very short call from a philosopher that lived hundreds of years before Jesus came, a Greek philosopher named Socrates. And Socrates challenged his followers and challenged his students that the first order of their education must be to know themselves, to know yourself, to be able to stand in the mirror of self-knowledge. And as Christians, I would say, stand in the mirror of self-knowledge and fall at the feet of Jesus and tell the what? The whole truth. In the gospel, this beautiful, humble woman, afraid to touch Jesus, if only I can touch his clothes. Why is it so difficult to know ourselves? Why is it such a challenge to get to know ourselves? You know, another profound philosophical insight into life. Only wet babies like change. Right? All the rest of us we like our rut that we've gotten ourselves in. And so too much change is difficult. And so if we see ourselves in the light of Christ and we know we're called to change, we would just as soon not know. And so there is that incredibly high obstacle sometimes to self-knowledge, the call to be transformed by the light of God. But I promise you, going back to the question I asked you at the beginning, do you have faith? You know, if you look at the world through the eyes of faith, you see miracles all around you. And so this humble woman reached out to touch the hem of Jesus. And as she touched his cloak, power flowed from him to her, and she was changed. And she fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. And I think that was really the key to her healing. My brothers and sisters, let's be people of faith. Let us reach out and touch Jesus and let his light shine into us that our light may shine before others.